Welcome to Guerrillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business Warfare podcast, teaching Davids how to defeat Goliaths. Now here's your host, Mark Anthony Peterson.
Welcome back to the podcast for entrepreneurs, startups, and business mavericks. In this podcast, we teach entrepreneurs how to defeat the corporate giants. In the story of David and Goliath, David defeated a much taller and stronger Goliath, not by fighting the giant in hand-to-hand combat, but by using technology. A slingshot. The slingshot allowed the smaller David to attack from a distance that minimized the advantages that Goliath had over the smaller David. My name is Mark Anthony Peterson. I am a serial entrepreneur and managing executive at Serial Consulting, a leading small business strategy and technology consulting firm. I'm also the author of the book Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths, which is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. This podcast is brought to you by Serial Consulting. An idea can launch a business, a strategy can take it global. During our last podcast, we introduced the first mastermind interview with Robert Armstrong, the founder of the Selma Good Company, based in Selma, Alabama, and the bakers behind G Mama's Cookies. In my mastermind interviews, I seek out business mavericks who integrate guerrillapreneur principles into the core of their business model. Remember, we define guerrillapreneurs as business mavericks that exploit excess capacity or inefficiencies in existing systems for the benefit of their business with the intent of generating incremental profits that will be invested in slingshot technology. Slingshot technology that lets your business price or serve at the same price as the corporate giant. Guerrillapreneurs don't fight like well-capitalized startups. Instead, they fight like General George Washington and his guerrilla army that defeated the British and created the greatest social experiment on the planet, the United States of America. Guerrillapreneurs use non-conventional tools and assets to do more with less. And Robert Armstrong was a perfect example of a guerrillapreneur. Armstrong launched his startup from his kitchen and invested the majority of his $7,500 in seed capital in developing unique packaging that would make his product stand out from that of its competitors. Armstrong emphasized how he used sharing economic principles to delay capital investments until his business model was proven. Armstrong also stressed the need for entrepreneurs to invest what they do best personally. He's a marketer, so he invested his incremental capital in improving his packaging and his marketing. If you missed episode 3, go back and check it out on iTunes. You can also order some of Armstrong's delicious G Mama cookies online at gmamas.com. Today, we have another exciting mastermind interview, and we continue in the baking arena. We interview Tracy and Kelly of the Atlanta-based startup Two Dough Girls, a health-conscious and environmentally friendly bakery that uses pop-up shops to distribute their cookies, donuts, and other tasty snacks. In episode 1 of the Guerrillapreneur podcast, we cited the 2014 Eventbrite survey of 40,000 food and beverage event planners that indicated that pop-up events was the fastest growing trend within the food and beverage category, increasing in frequency by 82% between 2013 and 2014. The Two Dough Girls are a part of this movement, and they are using the savings they're generating from not paying rent for a storefront to invest in the quality of their products. But before we jump into that mastermind interview, let's discuss what's new in Guerrillapreneur News. Guerrillapreneur News, news about the sharing and circular loop economy that's expected to grow to $57 billion by the year 2025. First in Guerrillapreneur News, The Paris-based AccuHotels announced that it has begun an exclusive negotiation with Travel Keys, the Atlanta-based private vacation and rental broker that has over 5,000 villas worldwide. The deal is expected to close in the second half of 2017. Accor Hotels acquired One Fine Stay last year and has several other sharing economy investments. Accor Hotels has a 49% investment in Squarebreak, an Airbnb competitor that offers premium private homes for rent with an a la carte list of luxury services, including a personal chef, babysitting, linen and towel service, transportation, and grocery delivery. Accor Hotel also has a 30% stake in Oasis, another Airbnb competitor that focuses on providing premium homes. Clearly, Accor Hotels is betting that consumers in the sharing economy space will gravitate to premium luxury private rentals, the best homes, in the best location with the highest level of service. Now, how can Airbnb compete with that? Well, they've been thinking the same question, and they've signed an agreement with the Caribbean Tourism Organization, the CTO, to share data and studies with policymakers and to work to broaden the benefits of tourism to non-traditional sectors and attract new stakeholders and to provide unique travel and cultural experiences. Now, by aligning with the CTO, Airbnb can combat startups like Squarebreak and Oasis that offer services to consumers who want premium accommodations when they book. Airbnb is betting that by working with organizations like the CTO, they can get all sorts of new services aligned with their bookings in those locations. An interesting twist, Squarebreak integrates the services right into the platform. Airbnb is going to build up services around their bookings. Let's see which strategy plays out most successful in the marketplace. Speaking of home sharing, we get an interesting twist. MuzzBnB. Muzz for the play on Muslim, M-U-Z-B-N-B. In this politically sensitive time, MuzzBnB can provide Muslims interested in traveling a safe and secure place to stay. Hosts will provide places that stay near mosques or other events and activities for Muslims, including recommendations for family-oriented entertainment, tips on restaurants, and other considerations for Muslim travelers. Now, there are 1.7 billion Muslims in the world, and their spending on travel is expected to top somewhere in the neighborhood of $220 billion by 2020. Uber's back in the news. Uber has just struck a deal with Zipcar in an attempt to attract new drivers. Now, everybody remembers Zipcar. Zipcar is the world's largest car sharing service where users can find and unlock up to 12,000 Zipcars around the country using the Zipcar app. Zipcar has a variety of car types, including SUVs and vans, and users return the Zipcar to designated parking lots and lock them again with the Zipcar app. In the agreement with Uber called Uber Exchange Leasing, drivers will have access to a fleet of dedicated Zipcar vehicles that can be rented by the hour at a discount. Uber expects the program to get potential drivers who may want to work part-time or individuals who don't own a car. Now, the drivers must sign up or already be Zipcar members, and they will pay somewhere between $12 and $13 per hour to use the vehicle. Now, that fee also includes unlimited mileage, gas, and insurance. That's a pretty good deal when you look at it, because if you own your own car and drive for Uber, you have to pay for all of that stuff on your own gas, your own insurance, and of course, you're going to be putting miles on your car. So, a $12 to $13 per hour fee is not going to give you as good of a deal if you own your own car, but you are going to be generating some income and you won't have to make the investment in owning a car. That's economic sharing within an economic sharing model, a factory within a factory. I really love that. This deal follows on the heels of other weekly rental partnerships that Uber has with rental car companies like Hertz and GM Mobility. Now, this deal also helps Zipcar fend off new competitors emerging in the market, including the ones that we've talked about earlier, the Mercedes car sharing service, or Cruve, or the Smart Car, Smart Ready to Share car sharing service. So the market here is really evolving and pushing partnerships to emerge to extend this car sharing trend. Now, if you got a car, but you need a boat, do you want to buy one? Or would you like to use the Uber model there as well? Well, if you go to Get My Boat, you can get a fishing boat, a yacht, or a kayak, or even book any sort of water-based excursion with these guys. Get My Boat is an international boat renting company where users can find a boat or list their own for others to rent in up to 171 countries worldwide and 7,000 locations. This company was launched in 2013 and also provides many other different types of watercrafts, as I mentioned earlier, like kayaks and all sorts of other water-based excursions and eco tours. Now, their model, very similar to the Uber model, they take 7% of the fees that are booked by the owners of those boats when they get confirmed guests. Since 2013, the number of boat listings that they have on their platform has grown from 10,000 boats to over 64,000 watercrafts. Again, very cool. Next in Gorillapreneur news, ZenFast. ZenFast, the Dublin-based startup, has launched a same-day courier service. Now, ZenFast uses crowdsourcing to connect businesses and individuals to provide a cost-effective online, on-demand courier connection service for everything from urgent legal documents to building supplies, prescription medications, and even large packages. All consumers have to do is enter details about their package on the ZenFast platform, and ZenFast sends a notice to couriers in the area. Customers are required to select whether or not they want a same-day service or an on-demand delivery. They also have to enter the delivery method, you know, bike, a car, or a van. They also have to say what the relative size of the package and enter the weight. Details about the courier who accepts the request for transport of the package are sent directly to the consumer. After collection of the package, parcels can be tracked in real time and progress can be monitored through their smartphone app. Payment is transferred after confirmation of delivery using the ZenFast app. Here's what I like about these guys. ZenFast is unique in that many companies today can only deliver same day if you get an order in before a certain time. ZenFast can deliver same day with a much later pickup because of the way they target their couriers. Now, their rates are competitive and the costs do not increase with weight, which again gives them a competitive advantage over the existing giants in the space. Pretty cool slingshot technology. Slingshot technology, remember? It helps you compete on the same price or service level as the giants. And that's exactly what ZenFast has done by creating this courier network. Transactions can only be made with a credit card, which I like because they get their money instantly, and all job entry details are recorded online. ZenFast is planning to roll the service outside of Dublin sometime this year to other international cities. Now, I can't wait for this to get to the US. Love to use it. Now, the moment we've all been waiting for, the next mastermind interview with Tracy and Kelly, founders of Two Dough Girls. Two Dough Girls, D-O-U-G-H, girls. They're sisters based in Atlanta, and they take the guilt out of guilty pleasures with their all-natural sweets and treats. All right, we are here with the Gorillapreneur, the Art of Waging Small Business podcast, and we are with the founders of Two Dough Girls.
Woo-woo.
That's right, that's right. And we're going to talk a little business, talk a little strategy, talk about all the things that you're doing to grow your business and save money and not spend so much capital in doing so. And I'm just thrilled as all get out to have you guys here. As I said, this is my contact here. We're going to be talking with the Two Dough Girls. Tell me about yourselves. Who are you? What's your background? And what got you into baking?
Well, we've been baking forever, but the actual business came about when we said, let's see how this will work if we try to make it a business. So we played with names and we said, okay, Two Dough Girls stuck. So we said, how are we going to approach this? Because we wanted to do something creative, something fun, something we could do together. And since we like to bake, we like hanging out together. And both of our parents had high cholesterol. Our mom was pre-diabetic with hypertension as well. And we said, you should be able to enjoy sweet treats and pretty much everything in moderation, even if you're 60 or over, with keep moving your body and practicing moderation, drinking lots of water, you should be able to enjoy sweets. So we said that's the approach you want to take. So we took old recipes and we said, what can we do to make this better for you?
Okay.
And so we stopped using white sugar, stopped using bleach flour, stopped using vegetable oils. And we just said, okay, what can we do to replace this? So we just did some research on what we could do to make things healthier. And that was our approach.
Now, was that a product of you guys being from L.A.? Because I grew up in Alabama, and my grandmother had a saying, a stick of butter helps the medicine go down. Is that what
you know, our grandma's from Texas, and we didn't eat the healthiest growing up. No. I don't think it was an L.A. thing. It was just like...
A maturity thing.
Yeah.
Like, we got older, started researching what we were putting in our bodies more and on our bodies. Like, I believe that's kind of what started it with me. Looking into ingredients more was stuff that I was putting on my body. It's like, what's all this stuff in this lotion and hair products? And then it's like, okay, well, what about the inside? Look at all the things that we're putting inside of our body. And we both have a major sweet tooth.
Okay.
Like, we love sweets. So it's like, we don't want to have to ingest all these toxins, and the dyes even have all these weird additives that are not so good for you. So we wanted to create something for ourselves and for everybody else that we know
and love.
Just
tell them, hey, you can have these things in moderation, and they're not as bad, but you don't have to worry about catching cancer or hypertension from these things. Like, you can enjoy it into your 60s and 70s and beyond and not feel guilty about it. It's not going to, like, sink into the bottom of your stomach and just sit there. It's going to be digested like stuff that's good for you, better for you.
Okay, so natural ingredients. That sounds like it's a major focus of your business, cornerstone of your business. And so, what sort of products do you make? Donuts, cookies.
We do donuts. We bake them instead of fry them. We do cookies. We do candy. We do granola. Muffins.
I hear someone's stomach growling because they're hearing all this.
I know, and that's me.
We're naming.
That's me. I mean, what they say, you had me at donuts.
Yes. Yeah, that's important to us, to use natural ingredients and to use things that we can pronounce and things that we aren't ashamed to say we use. Because it's like, people don't realize dye, it might look pretty, but it's horrible for you. So we don't do that. We use only natural dyes, plant-based dyes. That was our focus, because we just didn't want it to feel like you're already eating a cookie. Like, don't make the worst of it by eating basically nothing, just sugar and
whatever else.
Yeah, preservatives.
Right, sugar and preservatives.
Okay. Now, baking is a pretty expensive venture. And it looks like you guys have started to get momentum. What's the primary way you try to grow your business?
On social media.
Okay.
Social media has been...
That's where it's at right now.
Yes. A lot of people are on all sorts of different platforms. So that's been our main tool to get our face out there, to get our message out there.
To interact with people and see, get feedback. You know, every time we sell, we're like, please let us know how you like it.
Because we love everything we do. We just want to make sure.
Yeah, we're always testing things out, too. It's like, this is our first time doing this vegan, or this is the first time we're even doing a recipe like this. Let us know what you think so we can, you know, tweak it or say, okay, that's not going to work. No one's buying this. It's disgusting. We're the only ones that like it. It's not going to work. So, we always try to interact. Like, it's like a daily thing. We try to interact with fan base and grow it so we can... I guess sell more.
Now, you don't have a storefront right now, do you?
No.
Okay, so how do you get around that?
Well, we do pop-ups at different local events. At first, we would seek them out just looking on Eventbrite and just Googling events in the city and that see if they were looking for vendors. And we would just sign up, pay the fee, and check it out. And, you know, so we've been doing this almost about 2 years now. Well, 1.5 years now. Now we're getting requests, like people seek us out to come to their events as well. So that's a that's gained a lot of our popularity. We meet more people that way at the pop-ups, and we also deliver personal orders.
Yeah.
Throughout the Atlanta metro area.
Like so.
Right. Exactly. So your pop-ups give you the ability to have a kind of a temporary storefront.
Yes.
Right.
And saves you a lot of capital that you can now reinvest into your business.
Right.
And following that strategy, you've gotten a lot more requests. People are proactively seeking you out now.
And word of mouth, like it might just be one person we meet at the event, but they're like, oh, I'm going to save this for my husband. The husband calls and says, hey, I want some for my whole office. And it's just, I think that word of mouth and just people meeting us and seeing that the face behind the product really has helped catapult popularity.
So given
they know we're not just about the cookies and the food. We really care about what goes in your body. Like, that's important to us. That's our foundation.
So if you, looking back over the last year and a half, 2 years of your business, and if you had to do it over again, you do pop-up shops all over again? Has that been an effective way for you, or have there been some ups and downs with doing the pop-up shops?
I mean, definitely, because just like we were just starting out, there was other people doing pop-ups for the first time just starting out, so I guess quiet is a nice word to use. It was kind of quiet at these pop-ups, but
not a lot of traffic.
Right. But it's just like you might meet that one person.
Right.
And then you'll be selling barbecue in the woods. But I'm serious, though. Like you might meet that one person that puts a word in somebody's ear, and then it's on.
So, what have you done to counteract the quietness of some of your events? Have you tapped in? I just mentioned social media. Are you building an email list? What are some of the tactics you're using to drive people to your pop-up shops?
Well, we've researched more. Some of the pop-up events were like their first time. And depending on what their personal social media following was, we kind of gauge how popular they were. And we would think, well, maybe this isn't a good time to try this one.
Or it might be too expensive as well. If we're only going to be there for 3 hours, is it really worth a $100 investment to be there? And sometimes it's just not. Sometimes it looks cool, but we just can't afford it. So we're just like, okay, maybe next time. Please keep us in mind for next time, because it's not always worth it.
Yeah,
and
so
we learned that the hard way with a couple of events.
Right, because the example you described to me earlier, but the gentleman that just right outside of his shop, set up tables, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, we were visiting a friend at WeCycle Atlanta. It's a nonprofit organization and bike shop. They sell used bikes. They rent them out to the community. They work with the kids a lot, try to keep them out of trouble, give them stuff to do, do tours around town and things like that. So we were in the West End visiting his shop, and when we were leaving, a guy pulled up in a pickup truck.
It was like The Walking Dead. He's like,
it was like setting up this table of food, and then there's people just out of nowhere.
They just knew he was going to be there at that time. I think it was a Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. They knew he was going to be there, so they all decided, hey, let's go see him, because they just know that his food is good.
It was good. We had to try it. We saw all those people coming
and
flocking to him, so we
had to take our mama plate. It was really good.
Right. I've noticed that is a growing trend for a lot of businesses that want to drive traffic now. So the bike shop allowing this guy to set tables up in front brings traffic in front of his store.
Yeah,
I heard of this
some
one.
Some people have to walk by his shop to
That's
get
right.
there. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I heard of this one yogurt shop last week hired a comedian to do their stand-up right in front of the yogurt shop.
Oh, wow.
Ended up with 300 or 400 people.
Wow.
That were in front of the yogurt shop while this comedian just went on a riff.
It's very different.
Right.
I like that.
And then they continue to do that and say, we're going to do it every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And just keep going on a cycle like that, which is great.
I love
you know?
That. That's very creative.
Yeah.
It is. I would never
Who would have thought?
That.
Right.
Like, let's put him right in front.
And that gives him exposure, too. Like, right. If he wants to end up on TV shows and movies and stuff like that, and it's like, hey, I'm going to go watch whatever show he's at. I love that guy.
And I love yogurt.
There you go. So now that you're 2 years in, you have your pop-up shops driving your business. What's your long-term strategy? Where do you want to go with your business?
Well, we like the pop-up concept of being in different places at different times. So
different days.
Different on different days, different holidays. We like that we can be different places. We like that mobility.
Yeah, instead of being stationary and people having to come to us, we can be in different neighborhoods and meet different demographics, different people, and see what they like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So instead of just being in one spot and people having to come to us, I know people will commute for us once we get that, I guess, fan base. I know people will come to us, but for now, I think it would be smart to just keep doing what we're doing with the truck.
Yeah. So take the mobility concept. Do you think that's a core part of helping you find your target customers and put wheels on it? Instead of having a pop-up shop, you have a rolling shop.
And
just let your fan base know you're going to be here, and they can come in.
Exactly. Because you already know what Atlanta traffic is like.
I do.
It's just like, okay, if you live on the east side, you're not going to want to have to come down where we are to get some cookies. You can wait till Wednesday when we're in your neighborhood and time save money.
Yeah. So what else goes with that business? So you're going to mobile truck, you're going to have multiple mobile trucks, or are you going to go horizontal and do more with your ingredients and your cookies? What else to that, your business, do you see over the long term?
That would be pretty cool to have a fleet of trucks.
A little fleet.
So that we can be in different areas on the same days, and we're not just confined to just one spot on one day. We also want to lock into some farmers markets, so that would be another strategy as well, to reach as many people as possible, to be in as in many neighborhoods as possible at the same time.
Excellent. And I know you've talked a lot about your ingredients and the importance of those ingredients. Is that an area where you see making additional investments and trying to differentiate yourself from your competitors?
Yeah, definitely. Eventually, we want to have like 90% of our ingredients locally sourced and locally grown. We would love that. Like, even if it has to be like the Southwest region, like, we would love that, you know, to decrease our carbon footprint, say, hey, we don't have to get this shipped in. Or whatever, we could just get it locally. We would love that. We need if anybody's listening, we need a butter guy, a flour guy, and a sugar guy, and a vegan butter guy. Because we would just love to decrease that footprint and say, hey, we get all of this locally. We made, you know, they made this week, and we made this for you yesterday, and we're selling it to you today. We would love that. That would be amazing.
Wow. So that's
supporting other local small businesses, because we love doing that. That's we're a small business. We love supporting other small businesses when we can. We like helping the other little guys more than just the big guys. We don't want to get all of our ingredients like at the major chains. They'll be okay without us. Yeah.
Right. Wow. I mean, I read a business case when I was in business school about Ben and Jerry's, and you guys sound just like Ben and Jerry, you know.
Oh my God, Tracy and Kelly.
There you go, Tracy and Kelly, Ben and Jerry. But they were all about local, all about natural, and it resonated with customers because of the alternate, you know, the competitors' approach to making good ice cream. And it sounds like this is a passion, like it's a core part of your brand, that not only the cookie, the ingredients, but everything about your philosophy is about looking out for the community and the environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else are you doing in that regard?
Yeah, we want to be Ben and Jerry's. That would be amazing. just having everything right here as opposed to having to outsource for everything. We would love to just have...
What about your packaging?
Our packaging too, yes. The compostable packaging is super important to us. We made a friend who is a zero waster. And she really sat down with us and inspired us to kind of take the initiative into our business. Because I said, if we ever have an actual brick and mortar, I would want it to be green. Like, with the water and with the lights and all that, I would want it to be a green space where you know, we're using less electricity, less power, and less water. And then with the packaging, I said, well, what can we do? And she was saying, well, if you're shipping things, you can get this kind of packaging, and they could send it back. And to me, that sounded a little complicated. So I said, what else can we do? So we decided to research some compostable packaging. And we make it cute with the twine, which you can also compost. And we just found some compostable labels that we can actually put on our packaging now, which is fantastic. So you can toss the whole thing out. You don't have to take the label off and toss it. You can toss the whole thing out into your backyard, into the woods, and it'll break down in about a month and a half. And you would never know. Little cookie crumbs you left in there, it goes right back into the earth as opposed to into a landfill.
It doesn't hurt the environment. It doesn't hurt the animals. We also have little compostable, like little sporks that we put in our containers with our cake at events. And if we're selling to like another business, we'll have it all packaged like ready to go, so we don't have to use any plasticware, plastic containers, no plastic. We're trying to stay completely away from plastic.
What about your napkins? What are you doing with those?
Well, we actually just recently found some. They're recycled. There are some compostable napkins. Because
we were so focused on cute
there
for a while.
Yes,
like it might not be as cute. It's
but
worth
it's
it.
Better. Yeah, it's right. For everything and everybody.
Right, because I know you mentioned something to me that got me really excited about. Seeds and being able to plant.
The seed paper.
Yeah, the seed paper.
I'm trying to be less wasteful. I don't know if I could do zero waste, but I'm trying to be less wasteful. So I got some reusable face wipes, makeup remover wipes. And it came with a thank you note on seed paper, which I had never seen.
Or heard of.
I've heard of the look of seed paper, but not the actual paper.
Right, where it has like a texture and it looks like it has little things in it.
Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't know it was a thing where you can actually take the seed paper with the directions on it. It said, plant under a thin layer of dirt and put it in the sun and watch it grow. Water it often and
keep
watch it grow. And that was, like 2 weeks ago, we finally got our little sproutlets coming up. And it's so creative.
That is.
Because it's just like you can have your little hang tag on your package and then plant it.
Instead of throwing it away or having to recycle it. Because recycling is a process too. It's good to recycle.
It's better than the landfill.
But to reduce is even better.
That's right. Yeah. I like that.
And then you're giving something back to the environment. Planting some flowers or some herbs for yourself or your family.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd pass that out to all my customers and say, when these sprout, time to buy more cookies.
Yes! It's about that time.
Get a new flower. And a surprise.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely want to incorporate that because it's an awesome idea. And
right. And it's news to us. And we're like, wow, this is, you know, another small company in the U.S. So it's something that we can just use for our branding. And it fits right in with the stuff we want to compost. You could just throw it in the dirt, too.
How has your brand grown? And I love this logo.
Thank
guys,
you.
y'all see this logo? You see that?
I actually drew that.
Okay.
And we had a friend that mastered
digitized
it for us.
Well, from our first event, which was, I think, around her birthday, September 2015, since then, it's just been, I guess, a lot of people, after meeting us and tasting things, they were like, okay, I want more. I want to do this again. I want this experience again. Mm-hmm. Some people that I guess have a good reputation here in Atlanta, you know, have good things to say about us. So they tell their friends and their friends tell their friends. And, you know, it's gotten business to go up and up and up and up and up. And just meeting more people, doing more events has really helped as well.
And social media presence too. Our social media presence is growing as well. We like to interact with our fans. Even people who haven't tried our stuff yet, they still love our page because we tell jokes. We get a little silly sometimes.
Because we are. That's how we are.
We are.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being silly. Just not a lot of crazy.
Right. Okay.
So, have you narrowed down your customers to a profile that you say, here's the typical customer?
Not really. We kind of want to be for everybody.
And it's odd because some people are like, oh, I'm transitioning to veganism, or like, I just want to be more health conscious, or I just want to
try out that I'm allergic to gluten or something like that.
And some people are just like, I just want to try something. So it's like, I wouldn't say it's just one type of person that we can narrow it down to, but I think we might be getting there, because sometimes we don't hear from people again. Did they like it? Are they scared? But some people, it's like they want to come back like every week ordering the same things, and we're like, right. Okay. So some people are just trying to be more conscious. It's just most of the people are just trying to be more conscious and just more like supporting something local as opposed to going to Kroger or Publix or something. They want to support someone local as opposed to the big guys.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's more of creating that type of person. We want the things that are important to us to spread like wildfire into everyone else. Like as far as being more healthy, more conscious of what you're putting in your body. So to me, it's more like creating the target audience than trying to use one that's already out there. Like we want to get that message out so people are like, oh yeah, you know what? I never really thought about that. I'm going to start looking into that. And you know, maybe this sugar is why my child is, you know, is bouncing off the walls all the time. Start getting cookies from you guys instead of from over there.
So certain diseases run rampant with the black community. And it's especially, just like, you can avoid this type to have to take these medications if you just are a little more conscious of what you're putting in your body, on your body.
Food is black people's number one killer.
And we still have people like, oh, that's vegan. It's like last night we had an order and a friend was like, he's like, what do you mean vegan? It doesn't have sugar in it. And it's like, you know, it's right. funny, but we took that, you know, opportunity to educate him like, no, like it's just dairy free. And he didn't he wouldn't have known by tasting it that it was dairy free. And he's like, wow, I actually like it.
Right.
And we're like, there's sugar in there.
Right.
But it is vegan. No.
Right. Right.
So we just take those opportunities to educate. And I think that's.
So you guys are building a movement.
Yes, we're trying to.
To put cookies around it. Cookies
are exactly. Right? Pretty much.
I love that. Yeah,
pretty much. Okay. Yes. Yes. We are trying to change the world. Like with the zero wasting, lessitarianism, which is just using less or consuming less of certain things for your health. Like you can still enjoy them. You can still have your steak and your tacos and whatever else you love. Just you got to make it. You know, like she was saying, in moderation. Everything in moderation. Definitely. And you can still enjoy all the things that you like. You just have to be more conscious about how you prepare them, how we package. Even with the packaging, like, not only for the environment, but for health reasons as well. Plastic can leach into your food. There's a lot of problems with it. So it's, you know, for self and for environment.
One of the things that I talk to a lot of small businesses about are innovation. It's key to continuing to renew your customers' faith in your business model.
Right.
And I was on your website and on your different social media platforms, and I saw that you guys had a sweet potato product.
Oh, yes.
Right?
It was a challenge because we were, like, I guess, propositioning this coffee shop to take on our treats as opposed to this other bigger chain that they go to that they didn't really like. And they were like, well, we're still probably going to get our sweet potato muffins from them and get everything else from you guys. And we're like, no.
Like, we can make a sweet potato muffin.
On our way home, we got some sweet potatoes. And she
did some research, did some tweaking on some recipes, and it came out amazing.
The pictures looked like I wanted to lick the screen.
They're really good.
Like, you know, most things have like the muffin base. We have a cookie base. We have a cake base. So we used that muffin base and said, hey, we got a magical little sweet potato muffin puff here. Mm-hmm. Tasty. Not to brag because you said you want to lick the screen, but it is tasty.
Right.
I was like, and you can really just tell the difference between what they got going on and going on. And we might have to deliver more often, but it'll be fresh and quality I think they like us a little more than them.
Right. Now, you just caught my ear. You said you were selling into coffee shops. Now, you mentioned your pop-up shops, and I'm a big fan of proving out your business using less capital early on. And pop-up shops are certainly a way to do that. But also leveraging other people's storefronts. Yes. So you're selling into coffee shops?
Just one tea shop.
Just one now? Okay.
One for now. And I actually emailed her because I was like, there's a black-owned tea shop in Atlanta. Let's see what she's talking about. So I emailed her and I said, would you be interested in meeting with us and talking about maybe having our product in your store? And she was really cool, and she's still cool. And she's always giving us advice on, hey, you know, why don't you bring this in? Bring this in. And she just moves locations, so she's figuring out her client base. And that gives us an opportunity to play around with the recipes as well. So it's like cross-promotion.
Yeah.
You can be like, hey, when you go in there, get some of her tea, because she makes her own tea blend. She sells different honeys. So,
and everything is amazing.
And everything is amazing. So you could stop in there, get a slice of our cake, and get a cup of her tea.
And her cookies.
That's what we want. To be able to, because she's doing things like we're doing them, with integrity, small batches. She's not trying to sell to the whole entire universe and stretch it and put plastic flakes of tea in her stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's real stuff. And you can taste the quality. And that's who we want to be involved in. We don't want to be in a spot like, we wouldn't do McDonald's or anything talking about, yeah, hey, look at us, we're all natural. We couldn't be in there. We want to be in places and involved with people who have the same kind of vision we do, that,
yes,
you know, they want to use less, more.
And it's called Just Add Honey, by the way. It's inside of the Sweet Auburn Curb Market downtown, mm-hmm, on Auburn Street.
It hadn't all been all roses and
yes, it has.
It has. No. It has not.
Some days we're just like, why are we doing this? But
tell me about those days. We haven't
had a day like that in a while, but it's just like sometimes things just, like, we were so crazy last summer. It, like, every week
we were
super
event.
Busy, mm-hmm, events every weekend. And then once school started, it was just like a ghost town.
It just got really quiet.
And we just had to, like, motivate each other, like, hey, you know,
like, we're going to stick through this because we got the feedback. Like, we know that people love our stuff and we want to still be able to, you know, be there for them and provide them their treats. So we're not going to give up.
This is our first summer doing this. So we were like, not too hard on ourselves, but we're like, okay,
right,
we know we maybe have to do something a little different. Summer 2017, at the end of the summer, say, hey, maybe you should get these snacks for your kids for after school, or have some kind of little campaign so that whatever lull won't be so long or so
sad. Put our face out there more so that they'll still, you know, come to us even when they're busy, because we do deliver. And some people don't know that. Even when they've come to our events and they might get our business card, they might not go on our website right away. It's like, when I'm ready for my treats, maybe I'll see them next time. We do have some of our fans that do that. They just come to, when they follow us on social media, they know when our next pop-up is going to be, and they show up every time, every single time. And so that too, it's like, we, I think part of it was just that, just the popularity. We just needed to be more visible and more accessible to people. So we definitely can work on getting the word out about all that we offer, because I don't think everybody knows that we deliver. So that's another thing that we can work on.
But it sounds like having each other helps when you have those bad days.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Right? And we've had a lot of friends tell us that are trying to do it on their own. Like, I wish I had somebody to just do marketing, because I know when I don't want to do something, Tracy's going to do it. Or if she doesn't want to do something, she's like, you do it. And I do, because that's what I'm here for. And it's just nice to say, okay, we're going to just have this list for me, this list for you, and get it done, as opposed to having it all, which can, I probably wouldn't be doing it anymore if it was just on me. I don't know about you, but for me, I would probably not really be doing it anymore.
It would be much harder.
I always tell the companies, the startups that I talk to, if it's just you, get a therapist. Because it is hard.
Yeah.
It is very hard. When you hit the hard days where you believe in the vision, but you feel like nobody else does, you need a way to get out of that hole.
Yes.
And usually it's a business partner that helps you reinforce we're on the right track.
Right. Yes.
And I, myself, when we worked on our last company, my partner and I, he was in one garage. I was in another garage. He was in New York. I was in Atlanta. And we believed in what we were building.
Yes.
And we had been in it for a year and a half, just building.
Mm-hmm.
Not even talking about customers, just building, spending money and building.
Yes.
And then we get a test customer, not a paying customer, a test customer that uses the product for a year before they even hit go on the software.
Okay.
Right. Then they hit go, and this was just a test case. The round trip went through and came back the way we described it.
Nice.
And I'm telling you, I just ran through the house screaming.
Ah! I did it.
Hadn't made any money.
Yeah.
Right? But it worked.
Yeah.
And then the customer said, okay, let's put it in production. Mm-hmm. And we had this website that said, that would let us watch transactions go through and come back and bring the results. And they put it in production, and they said, we're going to start using it, and you're going to start making money. And we were charging them about a transaction. Mm-hmm. So if they didn't use it, we didn't make any money.
Right.
If they used it, we made a lot of money.
Yeah.
We sat there for a week, both of us, watching the screen. Get up in the morning. He's on his end. I'm on my end. We refresh. Then Thursday, I think it was around 3:30, the first transaction went through. And it came back green, and he's calling on the phone, and I'm yelling, he's yelling. It went through, it worked, we just made our first $25.
Yes.
But getting to that point, if we didn't have each other to lean on, a great idea and great concept would have gone down the drain, because there were times where you just get to the bottom.
And I think a lot of people do.
Right.
Just say, oh, forget it. I'll just go back to what I was doing.
That's right.
Put this on the back burner.
Put it on the back burner and forget about it. Don't think about the ways you can tweak it to make it work. And that's a lesson that a lot of entrepreneurs, when they're in their own closet by themselves, can't see. You got another person, the person will nudge you and say, hey, why don't we try this?
Right.
It's a great idea, but if we twist it, make it a few more people.
Right.
And
yeah, our two heads are definitely better than one. We're always bouncing ideas off of each other because she's very creative. I'm a little creative.
Mm. That's not true. She's very creative as well. I don't know why she suppresses it. She's very creative
just
too.
A little bit.
She came up with the sweet potato and our, what was that? The hot Lana? No, the hot cookie.
Oh, the sweet heat.
She got these nuts from Target.
Okay.
And she's like, we should make this into a cookie. So she knew how to make like caramel already. And we had cayenne pepper, almonds, and what else?
It was chocolate.
Chocolate chips. So we had all that. So she's like, I'm going to just see how this goes.
Huh.
And so she did it without the caramel. And I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's okay. And then she put the caramel on there. And I was like, that's perfect with the heat. After just having some nuts
to balance it.
So after just having some nuts from Target, some like spicy sweet nuts, she went home and created something. So for her to say, "Oh, I'm kind of creative. I don't know what that is about," because she did that on her own. I didn't think we should do this.
No,
I was like, "Oh yeah, those nuts are good," and I went on about my day. She was like, "No, this needs to be
a
cookie.
That's a gift.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a gift.
Like I wouldn't have thought that. Right. I didn't think that.
Right. Thank you, guys.
No, seriously." You gotta embrace your gifts. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I a lot of people laugh at me. I'll mix anything together. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I put a banana on a liver sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. See, so you see, now look at you. You say your sister created him. You grew him. He grew. But that, I tell my kids, I say, that's just, you know, the nature of my open mind. I'm willing to.
Was it good, though?
It was delicious.
Banana and liver?
Yes. Again, think about the sweet,
did
the salty.
Cook it?
Yeah, the liver.
The banana?
No.
Oh.
But I put bananas
thinking,
on a lot.
Maybe like plantains, the liver, like maybe that.
No.
Just a raw banana.
Not even.
Raw banana.
Interesting.
But I put raw bananas on a lot of stuff. Just to try to test the limits of sweet, salty, cool
mixing.
Versus
Because I never thought of to put something kind of spicy with something sweet until I tried those nuts. That's pretty good.
And it balances it out. Yeah.
But liver.
Yeah.
Enjoy your liver sandwich.
One of my favorites is, you ever had red hot sausages? Ever seen those?
Yes.
That with a banana.
Hmm.
Again. Different. It's a weird, great flavor.
And you love bananas, I assume.
Yeah, I love bananas. But I like it's the contrast that I like.
We love the contrast too.
Now don't try because my stomach is ironclad. You go home and eat that, you might.
Might not be so fun.
Might not be so fun.
Be home for days.
That's right. That's exactly right.
But she tried to convince me to like a savory cookie she wanted to do, and I'm like, no, like a potato, like. not sweet potato, but like a potato.
Like just a potato.
Like a loaded baked potato cookie. And I'm like, no.
I thought that would be something different.
But when you say a cookie, wouldn't you want a sweet flavor?
Well, you think cookie. It wouldn't really be a cookie because
I understand. Real cookie. It's not.
Exactly.
It's not like a salty or like spicy. She's talking savory.
Like totally savory.
Like a baked potato in a cookie. And I'm just like, no.
But I love sweet potatoes. I got sweet potatoes at home waiting for me right now.
No, I'm talking about no sweet potatoes. I'm talking about regular potatoes.
Oh, white iced potato.
Yes.
It's like a baked
like
potato.
Like a baked potato with the
chives.
With the sour cream and chives.
Thank you.
Like a savory cookie.
What is that?
And the reason why that even popped in my mind is someone had asked us, do you have any savory treats?
I love that.
No, we just do all sweet treats. And I was like, if we did, like, how could we incorporate something savory into the cookie form? Because cookies are our
But if you want to bite into a cookie, do you want to taste a baked potato with bacon and chives on it?
Yeah, I do.
And I was it could be like a little, like, on-the-go type of little meal.
Sure.
Who needs a meal on-the-go that tastes like a baked potato?
There are people who put french fries on their hamburgers.
Yeah, I had that.
And there are people who, you know, put the
put the french fries right there in their lap and they're eating their french fries on the go. So why not a little baked potato cookie
on the go? Because it's a cookie. Yeah. A french fry is a french fry.
There are people who would buy that. I know I would.
I think it would be interesting to try it out.
But see, again, I'm one of these guys. My snack that I'm eating at home is a seaweed potato chip.
Yeah, those are good.
But everybody can't get their mind, wrap their mind around stuff like that.
And then looking at it, too, it's like,
it's not the cutest.
Yeah, they get a little put off by it, but I love seafood.
But it all gets back to not running away from it, because that could be an innovation, but finding the people who
are willing to
finding that target audience that
clearly you are one of them.
Yes. Right?
I'll try it.
And for the rest of the folks, you got to get them there with a story. And that's what you guys have done so well with your business so far. People think cookie, they think, okay, that's my blood sugar going up.
Yeah,
but you told a different story and getting people to buy into the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the cookies are a part of the movement.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Just be more conscious of what you're eating. That's all. We're not saying, hey, you got to cut it all out.
Right.
Right.
Just think about what you're doing. Don't just say, hey, I'm going to have McDonald's. Those are the donuts.
These are the donuts, guys.
Donuts.
Look at this package. Look at that.
Careful in there.
There we go. Y'all see that? See that over here? So these are the biodegradable, right?
Yes.
Okay, can we open these up now?
Sure.
Let's open these up.
And it's got the biodegradable twine on there.
So this twine, I can go bury this in the backyard, y'all. Yes.
Or reuse
it'll break down in a few weeks.
I'm going to reuse it. I like to, you know, I got all kind of crazy stuff going on, so you just never know.
We do that, too. We have like a whole cup set that are like glass jars that we've bought other foods in.
Okay.
Like tomato sauces, jellies, or whatever. Yeah.
And reuse those?
Yeah, we reuse them.
I do that too. Ooh, my goodness. Oh.
That stomach can stop growling now.
Oh.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh. Oh.
Well, she hasn't seen it before.
Look at that. Look at that. Get a close up of that. Oh.
All up in there.
Oh, my goodness.
That's our Black Love Baked Baby Donut. It's a double chocolate cake with a raspberry icing on top.
Oh, my goodness.
For
those of you listening on the podcast right now, there's a tear.
Oh, no.
I am a donut guy as well as all the other crazy food I just talked about. And people who know me know that I am a real, real serious donut guy. When the Krispy Kreme sign would go on.
Oh, yeah.
You were there.
No, they did it for me.
Here he comes.
I started out buying two, you know, boxes, one for my family and one for me.
Wow.
I didn't live that far from the Krispy Kreme, but didn't make it home with the two boxes. So I am a donut guy.
We have a friend that's kind of like that.
Right.
She got a half dozen of our zucchini walnut muffins.
Mm.
And that's really all she's ordered.
Mm.
Yeah, those are her favorite.
Mm.
Thank you.
Mm.
You like
this, what's the name of this again now?
That's the Black Love Baked Baby Donut.
Black Love Baby?
Baked. Because we bake our donuts.
And
we fry
them. Babies because
they're smaller.
Yeah.
So these are smaller than the average donut.
But
they pack a lot of flavor.
Exactly.
Wow.
So they'll fill you up, right? You know, in your belly and in your soul, mm-hmm. just yes. as much as a regular sized donut. And we don't, like I said, they're baked, so they're not, no oils in there, not cooked in oil. Yeah. So they're much better for you.
They're lighter.
I love this.
It's like a cake donut, but it's nice and light. And you're not missing out sweetness or that flavor you want.
Mm-hmm. What's the price for a dozen of these?
Oh my God, offhand. I think they're
$15 for a dozen. I think so. Just to give the audience a sense,
yes.
because you guys are going to go online and you're going to find these donuts. They got great pictures of them. I'll post a few on the website. I'm going to send a few out on the Twitter account. But guys, take a look at that. You got to order these donuts.
Thank you.
Okay, don't order too many because I need another batch. But these are terrific. They're Thank terrific. You. Join this movement. Be a part of this.
Please do.
Get these donuts and then, you know, plant the box. Keep the twine. Right, save the planet and support these entrepreneurs, guys. Where can we find you? Where can we order these donuts? How can we join your movement?
Our website is twodoughgirls.com. It's the word two T W O dough D O U G H girls plural girls.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay.
Same handle, Two Dough Girls.
Yes.
Two Dough Girls on Twitter.
Twitter, Facebook
and Instagram.
Yes.
And then your website is where they can order.
Yes.
Step us through that process. What do they have to do?
Well, there is a menus page on our website, twodoughgirls.com, and you can fill that out. If you know exactly what you want, email us directly, twodoughgirls@gmail.com, and order directly if you know exactly what you want already.
And our phone number is on our social media as well. You can even text us. It's
you can text or call as well, mm-hmm. Any of our platforms, and order or email us. Mm-hmm.
And you do events, you do pop-ups, you cater. Will you cater an event?
I guess so. Okay. That's just weird for me to say, but I think we have done a couple
we
of events.
We have done a few small events where we catered our treats.
Yeah, okay. Like the bike shop we told you about had an anniversary dinner, and we provided the treats at dinner. And
the most recently, it was a brunch, a Martin Luther King birthday brunch for a senior citizen community. They have like little events in their community. They have their own on-site like community center. And they had a brunch with their residents, and that was the last thing that we catered.
Yes, so I guess we do cater. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We just confirmed they do. They do cater.
I mean, what do you call that, right? We're not selling it there.
So. Yeah, right. You're catering. Yeah. Okay. You're catering. Yes. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, we do.
There we
cater.
Go. New revenue stream, catering. There we go. Excellent. Yes. No, this has been terrific. I've learned an awful lot about your business. And so excited for what you're doing. You're building a cult brand and a movement, and that is a great way to get people who are passionate about the ideas and concepts that you guys are also so passionate about, and using the cookie as a way to focus that energy.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a huge fan of proving that concept and using pop-up shops and other ways to save the money until you're ready to go all in,
right.
Really grow the business.
Yes.
So I think our audience and will learn a lot from today's discussion.
I hope so.
And please, guys, get on the website, get to Instagram, find Two Dough Girls and order some of these donuts or the sweet potato muffins or some cookies, anything. But if you got an event, make sure you check them out. This has been Guerrillapreneur, the art of waging small business warfare. We appreciate you tuning in.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Guerrillapreneur, the art of waging small business warfare podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, you may also enjoy my book, Guerrillapreneur, Small Business Strategy for Davids Wanting to Defeat Goliaths. Look for it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Please also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Guerrillapreneur. And check us out online at Cierro.com, Cierro.com. We have templates and startup documents for entrepreneurs and business mavericks, and you can also sign up for our newsletter. Please hit that subscribe button to follow this podcast. And big ups to Mike in the United Kingdom for subscribing and joining the Gorillapreneur Army. I want to also thank Tracy and Kelly of Two Dough Girls for being on the Gorillapreneur podcast. Please support them by ordering online at their website, twodoughgirls.com. twodoughgirls.com. And follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Two Dough Girls. Now, I want to close with a quote from the great Chinese military strategist, Sun Tzu. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. Keep fighting, Gorillapreneurs.